Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together a Psalter 60, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, put me not to shame before triumphant foes. And what follows? Psalter 60, the first three stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 1 Corinthians 11. But first, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, heaven his head covered, this honoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, this honoreth her head. For that is even all one, as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head, because of the angels. And nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, and neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judging yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, and neither the churches of God. And now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there are be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together therefore into one place, This is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? Or what shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, and not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then it is pleased thee that the doors of thy house have been opened for the third time on this day, and that a part of the congregation is permitted and privileged to come up to thy house. Wilt thou remember them and remember all those that are called upon to dwell in their dwellings when they may listen along. Then it has been another day when thy mercies have been multiplied over us and our children. We have received many precious gifts from above, temporal blessings, and above all thy holy word. And may we be given to pause, may we be given to consider that every good and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness and nor shadow of a turning. May we be given to consider who have been the recipients of all those manifold blessings, and that is sinful daughters, sons and daughters of Adam, where their sins are great and manifold. Ah, Lord, May it then be thy goodness, thy mercies, thy gifts, that may lead us and our children to that true repentance and the need for the washing of all of our sins in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then thou hast yet made a great difference also in this day, where so many upon the face of the earth. And then we commend unto thee all the hungry ones, those living in countries of persecution, in countries that are torn asunder because of civil war. We remember all the homeless ones that do not have a place to sleep tonight. We think of the many in prisons, many in institutions of addictions. We remember the many in hospitals and, oh Lord, the great multitudes that have not thy word or the truth thereof that are being deceived for that never-ending eternity. Impress it upon all our minds that we shall have to give an account of all the blessings which we receive. Wilt thou then grant that special place at thy footstool, Lord? Then by renewal in this day, then we humbly beg of thee for a blessing upon thy holy word. May it please thee to go from bench to bench and from home to home and from heart to heart. May it please thee to convert sinners. Spare that we built not upon sandy foundations, and wilt thou remember thy people. We commend unto thee consistory and congregation. Bless the means of grace in the church, in the family circles. We also remember our school. Then thou wast granted that another school year may come to an end. The circumstances were different. Nevertheless, thou wast helped. We may raise an Ebenezer. Thou wast spared all the staff, all the students, those that may work in the school. And now toward the end of this week, then our graduates, they hope to officially receive their diploma when they shall leave our Christian school. They have been instructed out of thy word. May there be among them a word that word has fallen on their hearts. May they not forget what they have learned. May they be carried upon the wings of prayer. Wilt thou place a fiery wall round about them? The temptations, they are so great in this world. The devil has but a short time. May it please thee to work from generation to generation. We remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. Wherever thy church may gather, the established churches, remember the persecuted church. Wilt thou be mindful of the Jewish nation? Remember all mission work, also our mission field. Wilt thou remember thy servants? Wilt thou remember the team? And may the time arrive in thy providence that a young father and young mother, that they may be sent out to labor upon our mission field. It all awaits thy time. It all awaits thy blessing. We remember the nations of the earth. also our nation, as serious times, solemn callings, may there yet come an acknowledgement that thou art the sovereign ruler over the in the heavens and upon the earth, an acknowledgement that all our efforts, they can and they shall not avail without thy divine blessing, an acknowledgement of the sins and the guilt of this nation, and the calling to repentance. Ah, Lord, wilt thou grant unto thy church that these solemn callings, that they may not leave us untouched, cold, only harder, a harder heart, but may it be used for the coming of thy kingdom. We commend unto thee the manifold needs amongst us, the needs that are known, the needs that are hidden, the hidden crosses, scars, they can be so great. Wilt thou remember and uphold them? There are also many needs that are known, the needs of the mourning ones. Although if we have not experienced it, we cannot fully understand it. The needs of our elderly ones in our care home and their dwelling also in a time of loneliness. May they be given to fold their hands, when possible read the scriptures and cry unto thee for body and for soul. The need of the sick and afflicted, those that are seriously afflicted, the different circumstances are known unto thee. May the afflictions be used, that they may be brought with their sin-sick soul under the care of the heavenly physician. Then we commend unto thee the handicapped. Wilt thou remember prodigal sons and daughters? We commend unto thee the member under censure. Remember all the family circles. May love abound by thy common goodness among husbands and wives, between parents and children. When it is different, may there be a bowing of the knees and searching thy word together. And, ah, Lord, what has been separated, may it please thee to bring together according to thy holy word. Wilt thou provide for our daily bread, for the family circles? Wilt thou remember what is necessary for the crops? Hitherto thou hast been mindful of us. Grant a heart to acknowledge thee. May it please thee to keep from storms and from destruction. And now, Lord, in this evening hour, then once more we humbly ask of thee for thy help. Send help from the sanctuary and strengthen out of Zion. Be a surprising God. And wilt thou remember all the listeners, from the youngest to the oldest. May it not mostly fall on the wayside, where the birds come and pick it away, and not on the stony ground, where it shall still make an impression, but where it shall not last, or among the thistles to be choked by the cares and the pleasures in this world. But may it fall on well-prepared hearts, and that it may bring forth a good fruit to thy honor. Lord, remember everything that we forget. Bless what needs and awaits thy blessing. It is a blessings that we have not deserved, but blessings which we cannot do without. And that are those blessings for our never-dying soul. Lord, may it then be a good hour in this evening hour. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 164, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. My spirit thirsts thy grace to taste, an exile in this desert waste, in which no waters be. And what follows, Psalter 164, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 28, the question and answer 75 through 77. Question 75. How art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper that thou art a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross and of all his benefits? Answer, thus, that Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and to drink of this cup in remembrance of him, adding these promises first, that his body was offered and broken on the cross for me, and his blood shed for me, as certainly as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me, and the cup communicated to me, and further, that he feeds and nourishes my soul to everlasting life with his crucified body and shed blood, as assuredly as I receive from the hands of the minister and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord, as certain signs of the body and blood of Christ. Question 76. What is it then to eat the crucified body and drink the shed blood of Christ? Answer, it is not only to embrace with the believing heart all the sufferings and death of Christ, and thereby to obtain the pardon of sin and life eternal, but also, besides that, to become more and more united to a sacred body by the Holy Ghost, who dwells both in Christ and in us, so that we, though Christ is in heaven and we on earth, are notwithstanding flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, and that we live and are governed forever by one Spirit, as members of the same body are by one soul. Question 77. Where has Christ promised that he will certainly feed and nourish believers with his body and blood as they eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup? Answer, in the institution of the supper, which is thus expressed, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. This promise is repeated by the holy apostle Paul, where he says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Lord's Day number 28 speaks of the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ. With four thoughts, in the first place, the institution of the supper. In the second place, the embracing through the supper. In the third place, the nourishment by the supper. And in the fourth place, the union in the supper. The Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ. The institution of the supper, which we find in number 75 and 77. The embracing through the supper in number 75 and 76. The nourishment by the supper in 75 and 77. And the union in the supper in number 76 and number 77. Beloved congregation, we have heard out of Lord's Day number 25 that the sacraments, that they have been instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ, that they are holy and visible signs appointed for this end, and they may more fully declare unto us the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he has sacrificed for his children. Then Lord's Day number 28, that is very similar to Lord's Day number 26, where there was spoken of holy baptism. In the first question concerning Lord's Day number 26, how art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee? Then in Lord's Day number 28, in our first question, how art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper that thou art a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross and of all his benefits? And so we can compare, when you compare the three questions in Lord's Day number 26, which speaks of holy baptism, to the three questions in Lord's Day number 28, which speaks of the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ, then those questions, they are very similar. And when there is asked, how art thou admonished? Then in our time, then that word admonished, when we are admonished, boys and girls, then we are warned not to do something wrong. But in the time that the Heidelberg Catechism was written, then that word admonished, that had a much broader meaning. That means to be instructed. Thus we could say, how art thou instructed? We remember that the sign in the sacraments, that they point to the sacrifice of Christ, so that is that instruction. And assured in the Lord's Supper, that speaks of the seal. And now already in answer 75, thus that Christ has commanded me and all believers. And in question 77, there it speaks of the institution of the Lord's Supper. That institution, that we find in the three synoptics. That means the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, not in the Gospel of John. And we also find the institution related in 1 Corinthians 11, which we have read together. Then Paul has declared in 1 Corinthians 11, in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." Then it is implied, it is true, all the Scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But then the Apostle Paul is implying that he has received a special revelation and a special instruction concerning the Lord's Supper, which he may impart to the churches. And now concerning that institution, then it was instituted the same night in which Christ was betrayed. Of course, it was a natural night, but it was also a night for the Lord Jesus Christ, where he has suffered and where he has died, where he has labored under the judicial wrath of his Father, and where the sun has even refused to shine. It was also night for the disciples, where everything, where there were so many questions and riddles concerning their Master and concerning the Messiah. Oh, it was night for Judas. We read literally that he went out, and it was night. It is called the Lord's Supper in the first place because it was instituted under his authority. Do this in remembrance of me. In the second place, as king, then he grants that provision for the Lord's Supper. In the third place, it is in his commemoration because he has said unto his church, do this in remembrance of me. In the fourth place, it is his invitation. And in the fifth place, it is for his sheep. It is called the supper because it was held in the evening after a day of toil. And now for the New Testament church, when Christ has instituted the Holy Supper after the celebration of the Passover, then it was not, it is true, the Lord's Supper was instituted, but a communal meal when the Israelites have gathered together and partaken of a meal that was not so strange for them. Then we only have to think of the Passover. Then the Passover lamb was slain, it is true. The first institution, there were things that were not done afterwards. But then we know that that lamb, that it was eaten in the midst of the family circle. The Lord has given unto the children of Israel the peace offerings. There were other offerings where the animal was all sacrificed, even burnt, except for the skin, the burnt offerings. But now the peace offering, that was an offering that was divided among three parties. Then that peace offering, then the offerer has laid his hand upon that sheep or upon that goat, implying symbolically the transfer of sins, of course. The church in the Old Testament, they needed the work of the Holy Spirit, that by faith they may be given to look upon whom those sacrifices pointed to. And then the best part, the fatty parts of the animal, they were laid on the altar of burnt offerings. They were burnt after the blood was sprinkled on the brazen altar of burnt offerings. Thus the best part was for the Lord. Then the breast and the right shoulder, they were given to the priesthood. And then the rest of the animal, that was for the offer and the family. Think of Elkanah when he has come to the tabernacle, and then Elkanah has given to his wives different portions. Thus a communal meal that was well known in the Old Testament church. When we think of the patriarchs, an Abram and Isaac, when they have made a covenant with Abimelech, then to seal that covenant, then they had a meal together. They tell us that in third world countries, when there are divisions and when they come together, when they come to an agreement, then that agreement that was sealed with a meal together to show that everything has been taken out of the way. Thus, in that respect, concerning a communal meal, that was well known in the Old Testament. But now the institution of the Lord's Supper, that was instituted as a sacrament, and that pointed to the perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore the instructors have said, commanded me and all believers. Thus it was a royal command by the king unto his subjects. And now that command that had a sign and a seal. And then our children, they know what the signs are in the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the bread which is broken and the wine which is poured out. And that points to the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus this command, that is a separating command. Because when the instructors say that Christ has commanded me and all believers, then we are called to examine ourselves and what is necessary to attend the Lord's Supper that we hope to hear the Lord willing out of Lord's Day number 30. But it is a command that is given unto his church. It is a command where the king has provided a royal provision for his children that their faith may be strengthened. That is our second thought. The embracing through the supper. When we consider the sacrament of the Lord's Supper has been instituted for the strengthening of the faith of his people. And not only the sacrament of the Lord's Supper we have heard, that also the sacrament of holy baptism is given to that end, that the faith of his children may be strengthened. And that is so necessary, because the child of God knows of many attacks upon that faith. Oh, when they are at the end of the earth, what if fiery darts are shot by the prince of darkness? They experience that their faith many times is so weak. Oh, many a times can be times the Lord is free. Then that church is given to examine themselves oftentimes whether their faith is that true faith. A rod by the Holy Spirit, have the disciples not ask. In Luke 17, verse 5, Lord, increase our faith. Blessed that people that may be led further and that may receive that assurance concerning their state, but now concerning their condition, there can be so many trials and so many attacks. Nevertheless, concerning the strengthening of faith, when we speak of the Lord's Supper, and we must be careful with making that statement, because in the church, then there is so much emphasis placed, rightly so, that the Lord's Supper is a sacrament of the strengthening of faith. But when we speak of the sacrament of holy baptism, then there is many times more thought of the children, what they need, the blessed proclamation of the gospel. But alas, then many times there are not such exercises concerning the strengthening of faith. Nevertheless, we may say that the Lord's Supper, that it has the preeminence, and that in the first place, the sacrament of holy baptism, that is only administered once, a sacrament of incorporation, but the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, that is administered continually. The sacrament of holy baptism has one sign, that is the water, that points to the need of our cleansing and the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, that is two signs, and that is to confirm. When we think of the dreams of Joseph, the dreams of Pharaoh, then the Lord has granted two dreams, that it may be confirmed in a special way. And now our instructor, they speak of that embracing in answer 75. There it is written when it speaks, first that his body was offered and broken on the cross for me, and his blood shed for me, as certainly as I see with my eyes, the bread of the Lord broken for me, and the cup communicated to me. And then in answer number 76, then we read, it is not only to embrace with a believing heart all the sufferings and death of Christ, and thereby to obtain the pardon of sin and life eternal. Thus the instructors, they have clearly spoken of that strengthening of the faith of a child of God. And then when we have read this Lord's Day, have you heard it, congregation? Oh, that the instructors, when they were given to write their catechism, when they were given to meditate, when they were given to instruct, then each time by renewal, then the instructor could say for me, read it five times in answer 75, and it also speaks of my, thus a personal matter, thus concerning that first point, that embracing by a true saving faith, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, then Christ in the Lord's Supper, the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ, then he is declaring to his child that I have given myself for you. Thus that sacrament that declares that the child of God is shown. Oh, that cutting off work, no righteousness of myself, impossible to satisfy the justice of God. And no flesh can be justified by the works of the law. Then the instructors, oh, also the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, then it declares the free and the sovereign grace of God, that the church is saved by grace alone. And now concerning the purpose of that sacrament, we shall mention just the points. In the first place, it is a sacrament of remembrance. In the second place, a sacrament of instruction. In the third place, a sacrament of confession. In the fourth place, a sacrament to arouse love. And in the fifth place, to strengthen and to assure. Our third thought, the nourishment by the supper. But let us first sing a Psalter 381, the stanzas 3 and 4. O Lord, enthroned in glory bright, Thou reignest in the heavenly height. The proud in vain Thy favor seek, but Thou wast mercy for the meek. And what follows? Psalter 381, the stanzas 3 and 4. the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ. The institution of the supper, the embracing through the supper, and now thirdly, the nourishment by the supper. The two thoughts, the embracing and the nourishment, they are closely connected, and nevertheless, our instructors, then they have made a difference. Because after that embracing, the strengthening of faith, when they may do it in remembrance of Him, then we read and further that He feeds and nourishes my soul to everlasting life with His crucified body and shed blood, as assuredly as I receive from the hands of the minister and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord as certain signs of the body and blood of Christ. In the scriptures, when it speaks of the faith and the life of the child of God, then many places we read that church must be nourished. Through this wilderness journey, then there are many difficulties, there are many trials. Then many times the pilgrim becomes discouraged. Only think of Elijah. After he has stood on Mount Carmel, experienced the special strengthening of the Lord, where he was given to stand alone, and then after that Jezebel has sent that messenger, that Elijah would be as those dead priests, then he has laid down himself under the juniper tree, and he asked the Lord that the Lord would take away his life. Then that prophet needed strengthening. In the scriptures, do we not read of the wilderness journeyers that they were fed with manna and water out of the rock? In 1 Samuel 30, when Ziklag was burned, and then we read in the 6th verse, that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God, and that was 600 soldiers, that they have pursued those that have burned Ziklag, and those that have taken all their loved ones. And then we read in that chapter that they have found an Egyptian that was sick, that was weak. And it seemed so weak that he could not speak. Then that Egyptian needed strengthening, and then he needed nourishment. And then David has given him bread and given him water to drink, some figs and some raisins. And then his spirit has revived, and then he could tell David what has taken place. And then that Egyptian has led David and his army of 400 that they could find the enemy and that they could recover the spoil. And now when we consider the nourishment of a child of God, then who needs that nourishment? Then especially those that are given to labor, the soldiers that are given to fight the battle, those that are feeble, those that are weak. And now in the life of a child of God, what a trials there can be, and we repeat it, that embracing by faith and that nourishment that lieth close together. and nevertheless our instructors, then they have laid special emphasis, because even in question 77, where is Christ promised that he will certainly feed and nourish believers with his body and blood. And when we consider that nourishment, do we not read of a church? Think of the Beatitudes. In Matthew 5, verse 6, blessed are they that hunger and thirst. Do we not read in different Psalms that the psalmist is thirsted for those living waters? Psalm 42, verse 1, as the hart panteth for the water brooks, so panteth my soul, O Lord, for thee. And Psalm 63, there we hear the cry of a thirsty one in a dry and a scorching wilderness. Thus do nourish, and he feeds and nourishes my soul to everlasting life. Do we not read of Elijah when he is laid under that juniper tree? Oh, he has experienced much. He has experienced the help of the Lord in a special way. He was given to point to the God of Israel. How long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, serve God, and of Baal, Baal. Then Elijah has experienced much. And when he is asked the Lord to take him away, then he knew that he would enter glory, but he became so weary, and he became so afraid. He became so discouraged. Do you understand why, congregation? Why Elijah became so discouraged? Of course, the church, they become so discouraged with themselves and disappointed. But Elijah, the Lord has spoken in such a special way. 3.5 years, no rain, nor dew, much suffering and much death. And then the Lord has sent the prophet Elijah to King Ahab, and Israel was gathered together on Mount Carmel. What a wonders that the Lord has done on Mount Carmel. When the fire has descended from heaven and consumed the sacrifice of the prophet Elijah, and when the priests of Baal were slain, and when Elijah, he has went on the mount, he has bowed his knees. How many times, boys and girls, how many times has Elijah prayed for rain? 7 times. And then the servant was given to see cloud like a man's hand. The Lord has given an abundance of rain. Then Elijah has hoped. Then he has prayed. Then he thought, surely, was such a speaking of the Lord that there would be a turning of the children of Israel, that they would repent, and that they would ask for the ways of the Lord, that even Ahab and Jezebel, that they would be given to acknowledge that the Lord, that he was God indeed. But now has went so different with that message of Jezebel. Congregation, how is it with us under the Lord's special speaking? Should that not be the question that we are busy with? What has it wrought in our hearts, in our family, in our congregation? Oh, can you understand that under the circumstances that Elijah became so discouraged that he nearly despaired of life, that he thought no purpose left. He has asked the Lord that the Lord would take him home. There the weary may be at rest, but the Lord had different thoughts than Elijah. Then he needed to be nourished. Then we can perhaps see the difference between that embracing, it is true, all lie so close together. But now what did Elijah need after the journey to that juniper tree? Then the Lord has sent his angel. And then he has said unto Elijah, arise and eat, for the journey shall be too great. And then also the second time, and then Elijah, what a blessing it is when that may take place, the life of a child of God, that he may be strengthened, that he may be encouraged. Oh, Elijah, he could go on the strength of that food for 40 days. That he feeds and nourishes my soul to everlasting life with his crucified body and shed blood. Ah, the true child of God. They desire the whole sacrifice. That Passover must all be eaten. They need Christ for justification. They also need him for sanctification. What a privilege and what a blessing it is when it may be experienced by the child of God. Has that taken place, people of God, when you have sat at that table? Oh, that embracing, but also that nourishing, and to experience what I read in Psalm 36, verse 8, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Oh, it is a proof of life when the true child of God needs that strengthening, when they need that nourishment. When we think of an artificial flower, boys and girls, or when we think of a fence post, that does not need nourishment, but a real flower and a living tree under all the storms, then they need nourishment. But now the instructors, they are also given to speak of a third blessing or benefit concerning the Lord's Supper. That is our forethought. The union in this supper. What is it then to eat the crucified body and drink the shed blood of Christ? Answer, it is not only to embrace with a believing heart all the sufferings and death of Christ, as that was our second thought, and thereby to obtain the pardon of sin and life eternal, but also thus a further benefit besides that, to become more and more united to a sacred body by the Holy Ghost, who dwells both in Christ and in us, so that we, though Christ is in heaven and we on earth, are notwithstanding flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. Do you hear, congregation, of the blessing that the instructors are speaking of? Thus the true child of God, not only to desire, to long for the strengthening of faith and to be nourished and to receive courage, but for the true child of God, does not only go about the benefits, oh, they are great, but it goes also about the giver. Then in our forethought, then it speaks of that union, that communion. Then it speaks because the instructors, they have said flesh of his flesh, bone of his bones. We find those words concerning the institution of marriage. Thus then the instructors, they are pointing to a bridegroom and the bride. And when it is well in this life, then they desire each other's company. Then they long for that union and for that communion. And that is the blessing that our instructors are speaking about when it concerns the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, sweet communion, Lord, with Thee, that the church may experience and enjoy that fellowship. Oh, when we think of the Song of Solomon, and there it is also spoken of feasting, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Oh, then it is true, then it does not exclude the benefits, but then the bride is given to exclaim that she had a desire that she may experience the communion with that bridegroom. And now our instructors, we would say that embracing, that speaks especially of justification. Young people, you remember what that is, to be acquitted of guilt and to receive a right to eternal life. The instructors, they have spoken of the same benefits with the explanation of the sacrament of holy baptism. Thus that embracing, that speaks especially of justification. But now our last thought, the union in this supper, that speaks more of sanctification, that we become conformable to his image. Do we not read in Romans 8, verse 29, thereof, oh, that is the desire of the church, that they may hear the voice of their beloved, that the beloved may instruct them, that the beloved may speak unto them. Oh, does it not refer, think of Psalm 23, where it speaks of the shepherd and the sheep, thus that communion. And to become more and more united to a sacred body by the Holy Ghost, the instructors, they each time stress, they have stressed it with the sacrament of holy baptism. It is not automatic. Both with the administration of his word and of his sacraments, both so dependent upon the application and the work of the Holy Spirit. Thus that union, that communion, and also we have heard it out of the sacrament of holy baptism as a pledge, as a ring. Then the great bridegroom, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, then in those signs and seals, then he gives a pledge unto his child of the blessings which he has merited in the state of his humiliation and which he grants in the state of his exaltation. And now concerning the child of God, when they may experience, the closer the life, the more tender, the more dependent, the more exercised they shall be with the honor of their beloved, that he may receive all the honor and the glory. When the Lord comes over for a child of God, when it may be blessed, when it may be embraced, when there may be nourishment, when there may be that union, oh, even in a small way, then for a child of God, what shall it bring forth? Then it shall bring forth humility and bewilderment, to be given to bewonder the love of Christ as their bridegroom. Oh, people of God, may the Lord grant those further leadings. What precious things that those instructors have spoken of. And they were not 60 or 70. Do you remember how old they were? Do you remember who they were, boys and girls? Zacharias Ursinus and Caspar Olivianus, 26 and 28 years old. Then what a light they have received by the work of the Holy Spirit, of the blessings contained in the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ, commanded me and all believers. And how is it now with us, congregation? My unconverted fellow travelers, then you know that the Lord's Supper is not for you, that you are excluded. Ah, may that become your burden, and may you be given to beg the Lord earnestly, that he may work lovingly. Oh, it is true when the Lord begins not with the Lord's Supper. Ah, then we become wholly jealous of that people, and then we experience that we stand outside. Ah, then we learn what it is to be at the ends of the earth. On the other hand, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, that tells you, my unconverted fellow travelers, that there is a way, and that there is a sacrifice, that there is a way to be saved. People of God, what a riches that these instructors have declared. May they become more fervent also concerning the circumstances, that the Lord may soon open a way, that the table may be administered by renewal. May there be a people that may be given to hunger and thirst. Oh, it is true, the necessity of the Holy Spirit nevertheless means the means of grace which the Lord has instituted for the strengthening of faith, that they may be nourished and that they may experience that union. Oh, David in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me in green pastures. He maketh me to lie down beside still waters. And then in verse 5, thou preparest the table in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may acknowledge thee that thou wast given an other Lord's Day, and thou wast granted opportunity unto the whole congregation to come up to thy house. We may thank thee for thy help. May thou be the after preacher. May we be given to examine each our hearts where our journey is to. Ach, Lord, may it please thee to do a great work amongst us and our children. Thou wast promised in thy word that they shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. Wilt thou graciously watch over us? Remember the mothers in the home with the children in the daytime, the night watches. Remember at work, on the way, wherever we are called to be. O wilt thou keep us from harm and danger, O Lord? We and our children are surrounded by so many dangers. O wilt thou be the faithful keeper, Israel? O wilt thou also keep us from sin and temptation? O wilt thou guide our words, our thoughts, and our deeds, that we grieve thee not? May we be found to be a separate people. O wilt thou bless all the labors of our hand. O wilt thou grant health, courage, and strength. Remember the sick and afflicted. Remember the graduating class. And now, Lord, bring us safely to our dwellings, and wilt thou watch over us in this night. May many prayers be sent up unto thee, the living God, that thou may remember us and our children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 53, the stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me, the quiet waters by. And what follows, Psalter 53, the stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. they save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.